It's a healthy audio treat. Radio MD presents Family Food Kitchen with Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
Fair to say that most learning by children takes place in the classroom. Well, our guest, Deborah Lewis Grant, she's a PhD, so it's Dr. Grant, believes that this is where they have the opportunity to learn and become an agent for change for healthy eating habits. Hello, Dr. Grant. Tell us, please, what stirred you to move on from being a teacher to co-finding, I'm not sure the proper way to say that, but you developed Food Fight in the classroom. Tell us about that.
That's right. Thanks so much for having me on today. And yes, I co-founded the organization back in 2009. And really, it was a result of myself and my colleagues' experience as teachers in the New York City high school setting and recognizing that so many of our students were coming to school fueled only on a diet of soda and chips. And those were the lucky students who actually ate something in the morning. It was much more common in high school for kids to come to school without eating at all. And in fact, would often spend the entire day not consuming any calories, which is kind of hard to imagine, right? Any of us going to work and just not eating and being expected to focus and, attend to classroom lessons. And it was really alarming over the course of our time in the classroom. We just saw a precipitous decline in our students' health, so increase in weight, increases in asthma, increases in ADHD diagnosis, and it was really, to us, very clear that this was directly connected to their diets, and yet no one was talking about it. And sure, back in the 1990s and early, 2000s, this was still an issue that hadn't really gained the kind of traction it has now on the national stage, but we really felt that someone needed to be doing something to talk to kids about their eating habits. And so in 2009, we designed a curriculum to do just that.
I just listened to that. It breaks my heart. And it's still going on today. 2009, we're 2015. It's not that much further ahead that we're all making a great effort to change that. Because when you're hungry or not getting your nutrients, how can you learn?
That's right.
How can you...
That's right.
As a teacher, you must have seen that. So,
that's right. We saw that a lot. And actually, I think what we also failed to recognize, both as a country and frankly even as an individual, is that children who are already suffering from overweight, obesity, diabetes, are actually suffering from the same kind of malnutrition that we see from these alarming and tragic pictures of children starving in other countries, that it's just the flip side of a coin. So the fact that you are consuming tremendous amounts of nutritionally bankrupt calories doesn't really mean that you're getting any kind of nutrition that fuels your brain or body appropriately and allows you to function as an individual, as a person in school, or just a person in life.
Oh, Dr. Grant, you spoke exactly what I've seen in practice. Being a dietitian, I see a lot of teenagers for obesity and even early onset diabetes. And the first thing that they list, I usually start with, what's the first thing you eat when you wake up? And the answer is nothing. Okay,
right.
Well, what do you eat next? And,
right.
And the answer is usually like, my first meal is around 4 p.m.
That's right.
I mean, I used to be shocked. Now I'm just like, okay, well, let's fix that first. But even, recently I read a story about kids, a guidance counselor decided to fix issues with kids' behavior by simply giving them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and found improvement in kids paying more attention to school. So it's amazing.
Of course, which is common sense, right? I mean, the idea somehow that we expect children or anyone, in fact, to function optimally when they are getting suboptimal nutrition doesn't make any sense. It flies in the face of everything we know about science. It flies in the face of everything we know kind of rationally as teachers and parents. And yet it has proven to be an intractable problem. I think Ellen, mentioned that there have been lots of people, lots of organizations working to improve the situation. But sadly, we seem to remain somewhat mired in the mess. And Food Fight is really working hard to try to move the needle forward and keep the conversation alive, particularly in schools.
You have just identified why you call it food fight, because we are mired in a mess. So I totally get that. And you're right. We just need to move forward. So let's get to your program, because we don't have that much time. I want to make sure we cover it. You start with the media, about the consumer messaging that kids pick up. Why do you do that, and what do you point out for the kids?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because most people assume when they hear about food fight, and they hear that we design food literacy curriculum, they obviously, it follows that we must be talking about nutrition. And sure, we do talk about nutrition and what to eat, but we don't lead with what to eat and what not to eat. And the problem with doing that, and I think the problem why a lot of traditional nutrition education programs have failed to take root and have failed to lead to measurable and meaningful long-term behavioral change is that intuitively, lots of us know what we should eat. If I took a straw poll on the street and stopped people and said, you know, what constitutes healthy eating, most people would tell you, oh, I should eat more fruits and vegetables and more water and less junk food. And yet, when you look at our diet on a national scale, fruits and vegetables account for about 7% of our total food consumption.
Oh,
and frankly, I know,
crazy.
Right? But that's actually an inflated number, because it's probably closer to 3 or 4% when you take out potatoes and french fries. So we know what we should be
eating.
And ketchup. And ketchup, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And and pizza, which clearly is Congress has told us a vegetable.
Yes, that's not a vegetable. You
right.
got it.
So we know what we should be eating, and yet we don't do that, and so we're asking the question why. And what research and scientists have told us and have come to the conclusion that there are all these forces that are impacting what we eat and buy, and some of them are social and political and economic or environmental or psychological. And in our workshops, we look at those forces. But for children, and high school children in particular, media is such a ever-present and central focus of their lives. It's a very easy way to engage with these food concepts. And so we make the argument that our media diet is essentially driving our food diet. And so we talk about the expression, right, you are what you eat. Well, I think another apt expression is you eat what you see. And in our current food environment, what the media shows us are these endless cues for nutritionally bankrupt food. And so we know that what we watch on TV or we see on the computer screen or in magazines or in the subway or on buses or billboards, it directly impacts what we choose to put in our mouths. And so kids have to know that media is priming them for these unhealthy habits, and that there's a real reason why they're often driven to eat. So if you're seeing 15 food advertisements every day, which is about average for most kids, and 98% of them are promoting products that are high in sugar, salt, and fat, guess what? You're likely going to choose those products. The media is, in fact, working. And so once kids understand some of that, they're able to shield themselves more effectively and appropriately. And that's why we lead with media.
Wow. And I'm guessing that is why then once they understand that information, they're much more apt then to listen up, I guess, and tune in to the nutrition facts and that second part, which most people lead in with, you know, then they're ready. They're tuned in. So give us some examples of some of the concepts that you teach beyond the identifying the mixed messages from the media.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you made that connection, because it's true that they are so much less defended and defensive when they understand that this is happening in this larger construct. And so, in terms of our nutrition facts, we're basically talking pretty simple stuff, right? This is not rocket science. We're talking about pillars of healthy eating, which we designed with nutritionists and actually with our partners at the Whole Kids Foundation. We call it the three pillars of healthy eating, which are essentially eat the rainbow, and by that I don't mean snacks. I don't mean snack foods and Skittles. Eat dark leafy greens first, and eat close to nature. And then we talk about something called the 5-5-5 rule.
Oh, those are amazing. And I know everybody wants to learn more. So I want to make sure everybody gets to foodfight.org. That's one word, foodfight.org, to learn more. Thank you very much, and stay tuned.